He Said, She Said, or Technically Speaking and Simply Put. Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
It is December. It is the 12th month of the year.
Yeah.
Hey, it's the end of the year, man.
No.
It's January coming up. We have a great new year ahead of us.
I can't believe
it. Christmas is here. Can you believe it?
I can't believe how quickly this year has gone.
What do you want for Christmas, dear?
Oh, I can't even think that. I can't even think. Holiday is what I'd like to have.
Well, how about just a good, pleasant time with the family?
That'll do.
Yeah, it's been a great year.
It has been
for
a wonderful
SNU.
Year.
The guests that we've had, and we're looking forward to a great lineup next year as well.
We get to do that special guest interview review, don't we? So that's always exciting, like their final ones.
Our anniversary edition, a review of all of the special guests
Absolutely.
And their final comments.
Yep.
I find that very stimulating.
You do.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's get into you.
Oh, you know how I just love to talk about me.
So, what's cooking?
Well, you know the Halloween party that we had? And usually...
I know? I mean, my ears are still ringing.
Okay. Anyway, the roasted garlic thing. Now, I've talked about roasted garlic before, but really, it is truly a treat. And whoever we make it for absolutely loves it. So... Again, like after the Halloween party, we had like 60, 80 bulbs of garlic. I put them all over the house. What we do is I cut off the garlic like on the top part, not the flat area, but about a half an inch with a sharp knife. And I place it into a shallow baking dish and I top it with extra virgin olive oil, sea salt, and coarse ground pepper. And then I bake it in the oven about 350 for approximately half an hour. And or until the bulbs are soft. And then when they come out of the oven, I turn them over so they can just suck up all that really good extra virgin olive oil. Now, you can eat them as an appetizer, or you can spread it over bread or toast, or actually take out the clove and put it in a salad, or use it as a side dish and put it atop of meat, fish, or chicken. And you can keep it in the fridge for up to a week, and it tastes good cold, too. So it's multiple... purposes that you can use this garlic for. And believe me that nothing can live inside of you if you've got this much garlic going on. Believe me as well, Eureka garlic when you go to the gym, but who really gives a hoot?
Eureka. You reek less, I find, when the garlic is cooked because the active components are altered chemically through heat. That's why raw garlic is the very best, but not all people can take raw garlic.
Yeah.
So I think that the roasted garlic would be a practical way to get garlic into your body because there still is a lot of nutritional component there.
And also, too, an antibiotic properties. Garlic is also a febrifuge, reducing and preventing fever, a vermifuge, expelling parasites, and a pseudofurf. Anyway, it promotes sweat and it's a diuretic. It boosts excretion of fluids. And researchers believe that garlic can bolster the immune system, lower blood pressure, and prevent heart disease. And some people do believe that it does ward off insects, not to mention vampires. And that's why I use it around the Halloween party. So it's good stuff.
Yeah, Russian penicillin. I mean, every health food store on the planet sells one form of garlic or another, and lots of different methods involved in converting that raw garlic into a capsule or oil-based supplement. But garlic has anti-parasitic properties.
So get garlic into your diet. And when you walk through the house, you can smell this garlic, and it just really smells good. That's if you like garlic, though. There are some people I've met who cannot stand garlic, and I just can't even imagine my life without garlic. But nonetheless, try to get some garlic into your diet.
Yeah, and if you can't stand eating garlic, then get the supplement in your local health food store.
Okay,
so that was a good one, dear. Now let's get into reviewing last month's special guest.
Last month's special guest was Alexander Sueste. I like that, Sueste. He's Mexican. I really like the way he pronounces his words and the way he talks. Alexander is a martial artist and works with nutrition, and he actually has 3 black belts. Can you believe that?
Yeah, he's a good guy to have on your team.
And different styles of kung fu. So, yeah, you would never think so because he's really tall and lean, right?
Well, he's passive, he's humorous, he's friendly. Not the most violent personification.
Not at all. I would never think that of him at all. It's just absolutely amazing.
No, and that's the key philosophy of martial arts. You don't walk around looking for fights. You do everything not to get involved in them.
I think it's pretty neat that he's worked with so many professional actors and musicians and athletes and models. And, you know, he's had quite the life, hasn't he?
Yeah, and I liked his take on nutrition and martial arts. And this is true, too, because I have some limited experience with Taekwondo. And in my experience and in his experience, being involved in it for like something like 26 years, nobody gets into nutrition, like the science of nutrition, the types of foods to eat before a match, how to prepare for a bout and for training. They don't tell you anything about nutrition. So but that's also true in a lot of sports,
too. But
that's
the missing link, right? And they don't believe in supplementation either. So what is it all? Just mind control?
No, they just...
What feeds the brain?
They look at food as kind of a basic source of fuel, kind of a very limited view of what food is, and don't understand the miracle application of food when it relates to performance, prevention of disease, and reducing inflammation. And a lot of athletes, especially a lot of martial artists with high impact injury risk, have a lot of soft tissue damage and a lot of inflammatory support requirement from food. Things like omega-3s, enzymes, and the variety of herbs and botanical medicines that can be applied instead of just taking an NSAID or an aspirin.
Absolutely. So there's a lot of truth to all that, dear. And I think that it's good that he's on the side of nutrition, supplementation, and athletic performance. So, you know, hopefully he can get to spread the word a little bit.
Yeah. So hats off to Alex.
It was a great interview. Thank you so much, Alex.
So, dear, who is our next month's special guest?
Ooh, this is great. Dr. David Matthews. He's a general surgeon and plastic surgeon specializing in microsurgery and craniofacial surgery. We met Dave at the Colgan camp last summer. And when he was chatting with us and telling us about his what he does for a living, it was just amazing. I just said, got to get him on SNU. Everybody's really going to like this. His practice is in Charlotte, North Carolina, and he does 80 to 90% of his work is reconstructive with about 60% children with facial birth defects. Interesting, like cleft palates and that kind of thing. He's a certified trainer in the Power Program and in Russian kettlebells, whatever that is. So it's very interesting. I want you to talk about that. So this is really great. Get to meet him, and he's such a nice guy too. You know, you never know what people do for a living, do you?
No, you can't tell by looking at him, but it's really interesting. He's got a real head on his shoulders, an intellectual and also a philosopher. And his participation at the Power Camp automatically makes him connected to the CSNA education program, because for all you people out there in SNU land who don't know this, anybody that is certified through the Colgan Power Program has to take the CSNA education program. Michael Colgan believes that the CSNA education program is top of the line and the single best sports nutrition certification education program in the world, and as a consequence has made it mandatory that each one of his trainers must take this. And so he's got three levels of training, and each one is higher than the next, but you have to take certain modules that connect to each level of training.
So yeah, so we're really looking forward to Dr. David Matthews' interview. So
yeah, he'll have lots of good stuff to say, and I was just reading one of his clinical papers that he wrote on the connection between cleft palate and a deficiency of folic acid and other B vitamins. So what he does is reconstructive surgery on a lot of kids.
Yes.
And he understands the connection between poor nutrition and the frequency of these kinds of birth defects. And so he's saying, instead of coming to me after the cause, after we've got these problems, you know, like during your pregnancy, ladies, women, pregnant mothers, get on top of your game. Mm-hmm. Get on top of your folic acid, B6, and niacin, B12, get on top of these B vitamins and eat the roughage, eat the raw vegetables, eat the whole grains that you need to during those times when your child in the womb is more susceptible to neurological breakdown and
oxidative damage. This is why it's so difficult to think that somebody's that deficient. Do you know what I mean? I just can't.
Well, just take a look at the way people eat, dear. It's unbelievable what people. Here's a typical day: a morning coffee and a donut, missed lunch due to no time, and craft dinner for dinner.
Yeah.
And then you go to bed after having a few cheesies or, you know, maybe a glass of pop.
No water ever.
That is a daily diet for a lot of adults.
I was talking to a girl the other day, and she said she doesn't believe in milk. She's off milk altogether, so she drinks soy milk. She puts that in her coffee. And I said, well, why do you even do that? Why don't you drink it black? She goes, oh, I couldn't imagine that. She goes, well, what am I supposed to drink? I said, water. It's like a, like they've never heard this before. Just drink water.
It does not compute.
It's like amazing.
Yeah. We do everything based on what everyone else is doing instead of studying the science of nutrition and following a diet based on that.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that interview. Now let's get into your incredibly hot, explosive topic.
All right. My hot topic is discipline for teenagers. Are you too soft or too hard? I've talked to many parents who have teenagers, and it's pretty much the same scenario. And they all have the same common denominator. We have a teenage daughter, as some of you in SNU land might know.
Two down, one to go.
And at this time, it's a very interesting phenomena. There's such a fine line when it comes to disciplining a teenager. I think that their brains are gone missing for a couple of years. It's funny because you can be talking to them and they're looking right at you, but they have this blank look on their face and glazed look over their eyes.
Reminds me of me when you're talking to me, dear.
And how does the saying go? The lights are on, but nobody's home. I'm not saying that these kids, they're like on drugs or anything like that. That's not what I mean, by no means.
However, there is a great possibility,
that they are. Yeah. It's all about friends and social life. So, hey, don't forget that we were all teenagers once, too. I don't know about you, but I was a good girl.
Yeah, and speaking of that, let's bring this to mind. Adults who have children, assume that your children are doing everything that you did when you were their age. And I'm talking about everything. I'm talking about sex and drugs and rock and roll.
Yikes.
If you did anything like I did when I was like 13 to 19.
What do you think, Corey? What did you do?
Well, I was a good boy.
Tell us more.
I played lots of sports.
Yeah, tell us more.
But I got into trouble and I didn't get caught most of the time. I was up to all kinds of things. And let's assume that your kids are doing exactly the thing. Don't think for 1 minute. Don't be so bloody stupid to think that your kids are telling you everything that they're doing.
I know.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
I know.
And also, it's absolutely funny because we have an open policy in our home. We talk about everything. And I get other kids from other families coming in, and they tell us what they're up to.
Yeah.
And their parents haven't got a freaking clue what they're up to.
I know.
And you know why? Because they have no relationship with their parents because their parents are heavy and too conservative and refuse to accept that their kids would even go there. It's amazing.
They don't even communicate. That's the whole point.
No communication at all.
And it's really a shame.
Huge judgment, huge criticism, and it's all about you're not allowed to do this and you're not allowed to do that. So the kids do not trust their parents, and so therefore they tell them nothing about their personal lives.
So I think it's interesting, though, is that the kids always say how cool parents we are, and we go talk to the counselors, and the counselors all think we're pretty cool. I just wish my daughter thought I was pretty cool.
Well, it's because of this open policy. You're allowed to talk about anything you want to in our house. I'm talking about anything. And also, my rule is be true to yourself.
Yeah. And Ruby says, yeah, she's pretty cool, but you don't want to get her mad. I guess that's my Sicilian. Anyway, paying attention to detail is really essential. Knowing who their friends are and where they're going and monitoring these activities is extremely important. And if possible, get to know their teachers and find out how they conduct themselves in the school atmosphere and how their grades are. Really, the more information that you have, the better.
Yeah, like for example.
Because they're not going to tell you, believe me. Yeah, they don't give any information if they don't have to.
Well, here's an example. A friend of mine has his son, and he recently stayed overnight at some relative's house because he was out of town. So the kid gets up to go to school. Everything looks hunky-dory. He puts on his clothes. He's got his homework. He walks out the door at 7:30, and they think he's gone to school. Aha, he has not gone to school. Uh-huh. He is playing hooky and skipping out the entire day. And guess what he's doing?
I have no idea.
Well, I don't know for sure because I didn't ask him, but he's probably up to all kinds of things with his friends.
Oh, stinker.
He goes back exactly on time, up for dinner, and they think that he's gone to school. So, again, parents, pay attention to the details. And what I've even do and have done recently is just drop into school. And look for your daughter or son. And you know what? You might be surprised to find out that they're not even in school.
I know.
You got to pay attention to the details, not just watching them get ready for school, but just go and take part in the things that they're doing. Otherwise, they will get lost in those details.
They need to know that you are there for them, yet they do need freedom, yet the discipline. Now, on the other hand, you give them an inch and then they'll take a mile, right? Isn't that usually the way it is? You give them an inch, just like a husband. I think it's like training a dog, just like a husband. I don't think that I'm being harsh here or even funny, but how do you train a dog when it's a puppy? How do you do this? How do you train a puppy? Come on, Court. How do you train a puppy?
You kick the living crap out of it when it does something wrong.
You don't.
When it craps on the floor, you mush its face in it, and then it learns not to do it again.
I think you get what I'm trying to say, though, right? You
jump
on it.
Repetition, right?
And you jump on it right
away.
You
got to move quickly.
You don't. If they poop on the carpet and then you don't leave it for like 2 days and then you've
got
to hit it
right
away.
But there's got to be a sense of reward and punishment.
Yes,
it's that basic, right?
Exactly.
When they screw up, they've got to suffer some way. Mm-hmm. And then they get the message.
Yeah. You need to really love your teens. You need to tell them that you love them. And if you're an affectionate person, you need to show them the affection. But don't take any baloney from them either. It's what I call tough love, right?
Yeah, tough love.
Exactly.
Tough love means that you have to go through the kindness, go through the standard niceness paradigm. Yeah. And now it's not about being nice or kind. And it's not even about love, because the love is going to be taken for granted. Now it's, you've screwed up, and so there's got to be consequences, but they've got to be consequences that affect the kid on a personal level.
Right.
Like you take away this or that, and they may not care, although they will make you think that they care.
Yeah.
You've got to find something that's really important to them, like, for example, ban them from going to a school dance that they've been looking forward to for a week.
Yeah, that'll
you might take away their computer, you might take away their bicycle, and they can live with that. But to take away the school dance would really make an impact on them.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on the person, too.
Exactly. Now, if you can, I think it's very important. When they go to school, kiss them goodbye. That's a big one. You know, make
lots
sure
of affection.
Yeah, exactly. But some parents are working, so they can't do that. But always, always, always go to their bedroom before you leave and kiss them goodbye. Very important.
You know, the clients that I have the most difficulty with, the ones that don't show up on time for the gym, the ones that don't take care of themselves, are the ones that had the least amount of affection in their home.
Mm-hmm. So nonetheless, parents, we will get through this turbulent time one way or another. And what this boils down to, that's why it's just as important for us as parents to really take good care of ourselves. The stress of teens can really get you down. Been there, done that. So buckle up for the ride. Take all the precautions that you need as a parent to survive.
I think
these
I'm going to formulate a new product for parents who have teenagers.
Exactly. What are you going to call
it? It's a super high stress load.
Oh.
And this is a product that you take throughout the day and that you double and triple up on when those teenage years come.
Mm-hmm. And it's good to let if you do are into supplementation, which I hope you are, make sure your kids take them too, even if you could just give them a really good one a day multi, just something like that. But if you've got a kid that takes lots of vitamins, that's awesome too. But if you can, make sure they at least get that in.
Oh yeah, and remember our policy, the more vitamins, the better.
Absolutely.
Flood the system, pack it into the blood, prevent that body vitamin pool from going down, because when it goes down and cortisol levels go up, that's when your brain, your heart, your entire immune system is just going to basically deteriorate.
And don't buy any junk if you possibly can, because you know they're going to eat junk when they're out, so why would you have junk in the home?
Keep it out of the house.
Yeah, that would be the ideal thing.
Yeah,
but it is ideal. I mean, that's what we do, but we're not saying that that's what everybody should be doing that, actually.
Well, why would you want to eat junk?
No, exactly.
Because
you should
it's
eat
there?
The salads and drink the water and have your fresh oils and, you know.
You got just, too much junk.
There's too much junk out there.
Yeah, let's focus on the good, clean stuff.
Exactly.
That's what we need more of.
All right.
Okay,
so,
dear. That was a great topic.
Good luck, parents.
Yes. And if you survive, we hope to see you next year. What is your final word?
My final word is quite appropriate for this edition. That which doesn't kill us makes us stronger.